Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
97.3 The Fan. I remember, I'm going to say 20 years ago or so, guys, my wife threw me a surprise birthday party. A lot of people in attendance at that party. Among the attendees that evening was none other than our guy, Tony, Teddy Ballgame, Ted Leitner. He was at the party. Yeah. And there's other luminaries. Anyway, I'll never forget that I was asked to make a speech near the end of the party, thanking everybody for coming, which I did, and then proceeded to turn the proceedings back over to the party itself. Ted Leitner came up to me as nicely and as kindly as he could, but as a man who understood the kinds of things that you can do to cause turmoil in a relationship, he said, "Man, I can't believe... you're going to get away with that." And I said, "What?"
I've heard this.
And he said, "You forgot to thank your wife for throwing the party." And my face went, blank.
your face went blank. Your heart fell through your stomach.
Heart fell through. And darn it, if he wasn't 100% right, she wasn't pleased.
So this is where you got to run back up.
Right. So, hold on. The party.
Hey.
Yeah. So, Teddy Ballgame, thank you for that lesson. And I've never forgotten it. And so it is with that. I open the show today by saying happy anniversary to the lovely Lori out there. It is our wedding anniversary. Good for us. Congratulations to us. So anyway, no way I'm going to forget that ever. I never forget to thank her ever again. And I always do. I kind of always think of that Ted Leitner story whenever
we you do.
Come up with something like this.
How many years? I don't know. Is that something you don't ask?
I think you can ask that.
Because that does give away age.
A little bit, but everybody knows I'm over the hill and old, so
okay, good.
It doesn't really matter. You want me to tell you?
Yes, the number, please.
You know what? It sounds like it's okay to ask, but now that I'm about to tell you, it does seem like, wow, this makes me really sound old. There's no way I can even be 50 once I tell you this. Right?
No.
Unless we got married as teenagers.
Can I guess?
Don't guess.
No, I don't actually know, but I think it's in the 35 realm.
It is. 36 years today.
Boom.
That's amazing awesome. In this day and age.
Yes, it is. I think it's incredible myself. So thank you very much.
Can you imagine?
We got married, just as point of reference, 5 days after the famous San Francisco Bay Area earthquake.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that, if you can think back that far, if you remember where you were then.
I do.
That was the week we got married.
I actually told this story on the Scravy Show the other day because I was living there and I remember it as a 4-year-old, how crazy it was.
Yeah.
What was that? I was just about to ask. Oh, we were talking about this on our off-air video that you have at Gwen and Chris on YouTube, And he was saying, can you imagine me on a dating app? Or was that off air? I don't know
where that was. But yes, I mean, we've been married, you know, that long.
I cannot imagine. I would have no either, Tony.
I'd be completely lost. Completely, utterly, like, you know, what I would picture in my head? That fish that is sitting on the side of the boat when you bring it out of the water and it's just flopping around, doesn't have any idea what's going on. That would be me if anything ever happened at this point.
What a visual.
Right? Just Chris swiping.
Just, what do I do?
So if I think they're attractive, I go right?
Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do. In fact, if I got that far, I'd be surprised, Scraby.
That doesn't sound fun to me at all.
Not at all. So, happy anniversary to the lovely Lori and to us. Good for us. We got obviously a lot of baseball and sports. The NBA season started last night. We'll get into some of that. Padres news of the day reported today. If you didn't know already, that apparently Brian Esposito was one of the first, if not the first, actual interviews that the Padres did for a manager. I believe that was reported to be on Monday. And remind everybody who that is, Tony, for those who don't.
That's the Padres bench coach. Anytime Mike Schilt was kicked out,
he was the guy making the changes. Yeah.
Brian's a smart cookie, man. I mean, he's
probably on his way to being a manager at some point, if not sooner rather than later.
No doubt.
And then, of course, I think the news that tracks more with most people is that Albert Pujols, all reports said that today was his day to interview for the job. And we've heard nothing out of, you know, that potential interview yet. Waiting for my sources on Twitter to start telling me what happened, since, you know, there's so many people out there who seem to know what's going on in the Padre organization. But
I did see some rumors of.
Oh, did you?
And these are rumors about what.
Where'd you see these rumors on our good old X?
On X, but I believe it came from some Athletic article. I'm not sure which one.
Okay,
I believe.
I know. This is why I'm prefacing with this, but it was saying that Albert Pujols already has a pitching coach in mind that he wants to bring with him. I can't remember the guy's name. He was a Dodger pitcher, but
Ramon Martinez.
Pedro's brother, older brother.
Yeah,
that would cause an issue.
You said that the other day, I believe.
Yesterday,
right?
But we didn't talk about it.
And why would it cause an issue?
I don't think we talked
about
it.
Because Ruben Niebla is the pitching coach.
Oh yeah, duh. Yeah,
that would be an issue.
Yes, it would be an issue of him actually bringing him here. I know.
Yes.
I'm talking about in terms of him wanting a pitching coach. I mean, that's his prerogative. But yes, in terms of getting him in on the staff, that would be.
I don't care who you are.
Let's put it.
You come to this town. You become this man. You become the manager of the Padres. Sorry, I'm getting fired up. You do not kick Ruben Niebla out of town. Come on.
Well, all right. So clearly, if this rumor is true, and we don't know it's true,
I've said that
we don't know it's true. But if it's true, that could be basically
a deal breaker.
Yeah. If that was the case, because I would think the Padres now. It could also not be a deal breaker if Ruben Niebla took a job as manager somewhere else.
That's also true.
So maybe putting one and one together here and hopefully getting two, you know, which doesn't always happen. But if Albert Pujols said, hey, if he came in and in his interview said, I got the perfect guy, if, you know, something happened with Ruben, this would be my guy, then I see nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah,
but I think most guys that take over as manager would have to get the blessing of Ruben and have that work, don't you, Tony? Or does Ruben have enough cachet?
Would have to get say that again.
Well, I think they would have to. I would personally, if I was hiring a new manager, I'd want to make sure they get along with Ruben Niebla and they're all on the same page, and Ruben is good with them.
Yeah, because
the new manager, etc.
Regardless of who takes over as manager, there is no guarantee that they get to pick anybody.
Yeah.
On the staff. That is, we see that. Year in, year out, new managers take over. They don't necessarily
not
get
always.
To,
yep. Sometimes
fact,
they do.
I would say lately, more often than not, they don't get to pick their staff. Their staff is kind of either a collaborative effort or the staff is already picked before they fall into the seat. So, again, this is a unsubstantiated rumor.
that, you know.
That's right. And thank you for this unsubstantiated rumor, Scraby. You gave us 5 minutes of material to talk about something that may not actually even remotely be happening at all.
Let's be honest. That's about 90% of what we talk about in sports.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, all right. But, yeah, that's the news. And once our crack reporters on Twitter/X start claiming they know how the interview went today, we'll pass along those rumors for you as well. All right, we can't get too much further, but I wanted to start with that so you get the Padre thing. But this is a big deal, and it's back. And it's the biggest fan contest. And I'm glad everybody's here, ready to go at the start of the show. This Monday, November 3rd, sorry, 2 weeks from Monday, November 3rd, our grand prize will be back in the biggest fan contest. And what you get if you win that is a night in the Odyssey Suite at a Padre game for 20 tickets and yourself. You get 20 tickets for you and your friends to watch the game in the Odyssey Suite. And whether you want us or not, the whole fan staff will enjoy the game with you.
Yes.
I don't know. Are you even allowed? Could you request, hey, I'd like most of the staff there, but can Chris stay home? That type of thing.
You are the biggest fan. Huh? So I said they are the biggest fan.
Right. You're the biggest fan. I think you should be able to request who you want from our staff to be there. Anyway, it all starts Monday, November the 3rd. Go to 97.3thefan, sd.com/biggestfan. Do that. You know, between now and November 3rd, get your name registered. And then you listen. We'll be announcing names each day, 9 a.m., 1 p.m., 5:30 on our show every day. And you'll get a chance to qualify for that great prize. But the first step for you is to go to 97.3thefansd.com and get registered.
Okay. And our biggest fan from last year, Rod. Sorry, Rod.
What a great winner. What a great winner he was.
He's not eligible.
Oh, he can't win this time.
He just put on the chat, please make sure to enter. It's someone else's turn to be the biggest fan. My reign is over.
Well, I would say you're still a pretty big fan, though,
yes,
Rod, no matter how it goes
definitely.
There. All right, so and make sure you get started on that. All right, here's my quick thing going into the first break. It's not a rant necessarily, guys, but I was watching the news last night, the local news, and I only watched it because I had caught wind of that accident. Auto accident, the car accident that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys probably heard about it.
It was pretty bad.
It was on the 8 freeway, eastbound, just past college, going out towards El Cajon. It happened late Monday night at like 10:30 at night. Two cars driving at, I'm sure, a crazy rate of speed. One of them flipped over, and there was this big accident. As it turned out, the driver of the car that flipped over died on the scene. But that isn't the part, even though that's sad enough, that is not the part that caused me to start crying, basically, as I was watching the news last night. The part that was the fact that 25-year-old officer Lauren Craven arrived on the scene, and just, she wasn't called to the scene. She was driving by and said, I got to get out. I got to help. I'm a police officer. This is what I need to do. I need to see what we can do here. And she herself got hit by another motorist, and she has died. Now, the only reason I'm not trying to bring everybody down. I'm just trying to say I think you now know why I lose my mind every time I see somebody speeding at 120 miles an hour going in and out of traffic on the freeway. I know that's not you listening to our show right now, but it's somebody out there, and I just wish that we could get what happened to this young lady in our minds the next time we need to go that fast. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even imagine a life being ended that soon, that unnecessarily. But that's what happened.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Crazy.
All right. Sorry about that, guys. But it was just something I felt strongly about. You know, I don't get tears in my eyes watching the news. Well, no, nowadays you watch the news, you can cry, but no. This was just so sad.
Yeah, it was tough.
It really was. And anyway, hopefully, you know, you keep that message to, you know, people around you. You can still, you know, you want to break the speed limit a few miles. I know you're not supposed to do that. Just stop the 115 mile an hour thing. All right, we're going to go to the program here, get it rolling. We got Ryan Finley. San Diego Union Tribune is on today. We got SDFC coming up on the very first playoff match in franchise history. They'll actually find out who their opponent is later tonight. And a regular Wednesday of Gwen and Chris activity on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey guys, Woodsy here, my wife.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
The wrong one. This hour is brought to you by Toyota of Poway, voted San Diego's number one Toyota dealer by USA Today. Toyota of Poway has been voted San Diego's number one Toyota dealer by USA Today. With ARPs as low as 0% and tons of new Toyotas on the ground, only treats during the Trucktober sale event happening now only at Toyota of Poway or online at toyotaofpoway.com in the heart of San Diego. Let's not forget the World Series. It's going to start Friday. Still,
I'm aware of that.
Still haven't heard yet who Seattle may start. Have seen
well,
that.
We're going to start no one.
Oh, is that right?
Well, Seattle's not in it.
I mean, sorry. You're right. Toronto. Toronto. My fault.
Scraby. George Kirby's starting.
Well, hey, that would be a bad choice.
That was very clever of you there,
That
sir.
Would be a bad choice, yeah, no. Even if he was available.
Blue Jays haven't decided on a starter yet, or they haven't announced one, at least. They may have decided on just not let us know.
I hope they go bullpen, and I hope the first guy gives up 8 runs. I'm so sick of the bullpen games.
You want the Dodgers to win?
I don't, but I don't want to see the bullpen thing ever work. That's how strongly I feel about that.
Speaking of baseball, you get to the end of the year, you start to get more of these finalists for these different awards. We saw Toddy at the as a finalist for the Gold Glove. We saw today 2 Silver Slugger finalists, one in Manny Machado at third base, and the other in Jake Cronenworth as the utility. He's up against Alec Burleson and Brendan Donovan of the Cardinals. So,
I think that those two guys statistically both had better numbers, but I've also seen teammates cancel each other out before in these kind of votes.
Yeah,
Jake could get in there. Third base, I mean, who you got against Manny? I mean, Charlie Hayes played third base. He couldn't get our Keybyan Hayes.
I'd say it's Manny.
That's what I mean. Third base was not a strong hitting position this year in the National League.
I think Manny had the best year of all 4 of those guys.
So
Muncy missed a ton of time.
Yeah.
Riley missed a ton of time.
Austin Riley, yeah.
Chapman probably played the most out of the 3, but he missed some time as well.
I think Manny should win that for sure.
I agree.
So that'd be good.
The other news, it sounds like after about 72 hours and some change, the Giants have come to an agreement with Tony Vitello of the Tennessee Vols.
He's along, by the way, I forgot to mention this yesterday, Tony Vitello, on the list of long lost LO relatives out there in the sports
because
world.
Because it says, because it has VIT in front.
Yeah, his last name ends in LO, so there must be a connection somewhere. Did you not get
no,
that?
No, I didn't. I was like,
what are we talking about?
Yeah, right? Like, where is he going now? This guy's nuts.
Yes, yeah, indeed.
No, if you got LO at the end of your name, you know, there's got to be a connection.
Got to be some connection.
Yeah, right.
NBA got kicked off yesterday, and there was a couple different things that I thought about. A, Oklahoma City ends up winning, of course, on two SGA free throws at the end to get him
you
in.
You know, and I can't complain, though.
Oh.
Did you see the play?
I did.
I mean, it was funny. Scraby told us yesterday as an aside. He goes, when I play basketball, the one thing I cannot help doing is falling for a pump fake. And I told him, I said, you're not alone.
You're not.
Well, Kevin Durant, of all people, was the one who, you know, got. Now, I will say this. It was about the fourth pump fake he tried.
Listen.
But he kept trying and finally got Durant in the air and got the foul. And Durant knew it, too. He didn't argue.
You know who revolutionized the
triple quadruple?
No, just a Kobe Bean Bryant.
Oh, did he? Okay.
He'd sit there and he'd give you four. Even as a spectator, you'd be like, come on, man. You can't think this.
Put it up, will
you? You can't think a fifth one is going to work. But sure enough, get somebody in the popcorn machine and
that's what happened.
SGA ends up hitting those two free throws.
He did. I will say this real quick before. Durant tried to lose the game earlier. He called the timeout they did not have.
That's right. That's right.
Right at the end of regulation. And I got to ding my officials here. They didn't have the guts to call it. There's no way they
did. We now go to our resident referee, Chris Sello.
We haven't heard that in a while.
This was all about not having the guts to call it.
You think so? You think one of the officials saw it and just decided I'm not calling it?
I think they all saw it, Tony. He got the rebound. You're not supposed to ball watch, but that's pretty much where you're – you know, eyes are going to go at the end of the game, regulation time. You're going to see him grab the rebound. He turns around, puts both arms around the ball, and gives the timeout sign. And no one had the guts. And the Oklahoma City people are like,
what's going on?
Yeah, he just did that. They didn't have the guts to decide the game.
And
I know a lot of people say, well, that's good. The ref shouldn't decide the game. But as we've talked about,
that's deciding the game.
If you don't call something, you decided the game.
Yeah.
So, anyway, he got away with that one. But he didn't get away with a pump fake.
The Lakers would lose in the second
game.
In between that game, though, I wanted to get your take on this. I don't know if you saw this. Halftime of the Rockets OKC game.
Okay.
Michael Jordan was featured during the halftime, and it was
I heard that he was going to be, but I didn't see it.
It was a little segment, basically, about the game and his involvement and this, that, and the other. And it was nice to see him, on the TV. But I don't know from watching this if we're going to get to see him in the way I think.
Does he look comfortable doing
that? He does.
Okay.
He looks comfortable.
Okay.
It was him in your favorite, Mike Tirico.
Well, Mike Tirico deserves the opportunity, certainly.
He doesn't have enough going on.
Just ask Mike Tirico if he deserves the opportunity. He'll tell you.
Guys, I received a text message right now from our guy, Sam Levitt. He's listening to the show, and he's fired up.
Oh.
In all caps. He said, I completely agree. Refs looking right at Durant. If only more refs were like Chris.
I'm not saying I would have the guts to do it.
I'll be honest with you. They didn't have the guts.
Yeah, I said they didn't have the guts. I'm telling you, in a packed gym on a Friday night, I'm going to decide the game on that. It would be hard. I will tell you. It would be hard. But I know if I did it, my superiors would think the world of me for doing it. Anyway. Go back to it, Chu. Thank you, Sam.
Jordan, speaking to NBC play-by-play voice Mike Tirico in the first installment of a series the network is calling MJ, Insights to Excellence.
Okay.
Said he made
boring.
A conscious...
Sorry.
That does sound boring right there, I will tell you.
No, I mean, I'm over the Michael Jordan stuff.
Wait, how much has he been inundating you the last several years?
That's very interesting. That's very interesting that you say that, because he is being questioned about his lack of...
Right. He's not involved in anything.
I never said Michael. I'm saying I thought there's documentaries. MJ. I'm not saying
there's one documentary.
One documentary that ran during COVID.
There's one.
I saw something else on Netflix.
No, you did.
I did. I sure did.
It's the same documentary, buddy.
The Last Dance?
Yes.
I would know if it was the same documentary.
I don't know. Have you seen
the documentary? All I know is in the Last Dance documentary, you'll know it's Jordan, you'll know it's that if you see the bloodshot eyes.
Right.
Because he was drinking the scotch.
Those were noticeably gone.
Oh, good. He still got to him, eyes out for last night.
He said he made a conscious decision to prioritize family over being seen in the public eye. That said, he also acknowledged a desire to pay it forward. He said, I have an obligation to the game of basketball.
Good for him.
As a basketball player, is able to be able to pass on messages of success and dedication to the game of basketball. Those segments will air in part as we go on. Now, I think a lot of people were hoping they'd get like...
How did this one go, Tony? Or what did he talk
good.
About?
It
what did he
good.
Talk about anything? In, I mean, you know...
It was a lot about him making the decision to initially, you know, in the last however many years, to really not be in the public eye very
much. So he was explaining where he's been.
Right, basically. Okay. He did tell a story about renting a house during one event, and he was doing like a meet and greet with the family. He was renting the house, and he said the guy asked him to shoot one free throw. And he said he hadn't touched a basketball in years, like so long. And he said that's probably the most nervous he's ever been.
For any free
because
throw.
Because he knows that those
he's
kids
Michael
have been
Jordan,
told
yeah.
this story of this guy that
doesn't
was like 30
miss.
Years yeah. ago, right? And so
did
I thought that...
It?
He did say he made it.
I don't think he would have told the story otherwise.
That's true.
In true Michael Jordan fashion, he went from kind of showing his vulnerability and being kind of nervous to instantly snap. When he was asked the question, did he make it, snap right back.
He looked at the guy and said, what do you think?
Basically.
I am still Michael Jordan. Yeah.
I think what I was the point I was trying to get to is I think a lot of people were hoping we'd get a Michael Jordan that was like, analyzing what's happening, almost in the same way you see Chuck and Shaq.
They wanted X's and O's.
That's not going to be
something.
He's
not going to be them. I just hope, and I'm going to try to watch this for going forward, I hope that it doesn't become the low-hanging fruit, which is to sit back and complain about the way the game is compared to when he played.
Do you
know what I mean?
I think he's always...
Because that's low-hanging fruit.
I think
we've heard that.
I think he's always taken a different... approach to it compared to his his colleagues that he played with during that time. So we'll get a chance to see it as we go along. He's 62 years of age at this point. We'll see where it goes. I just thought it was interesting that he hadn't touched a basketball forever and was like nervous.
It's always like when golfers say I haven't touched a golf club in like a year.
Yeah.
And then they go out and they just swing it and it's perfect again.
Well, there's probably a little nervous, though, if they're around people that are expecting them to be perfect.
Yeah.
It says NBC said the next installment of Jordan's conversation with Tariqa will air October 28th, and this is a good one. And that one of the next topics covered would be about load management.
Back in my day, because he never load managed, for sure. Yeah. Not something that he did.
They already have some of the excerpts from it, but we'll get to that a little bit later. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, we have our SDFC guest, Ryan Finley of the San Diego Union-Tribune.
I understand there's a little controversy surrounding the team right now.
Yes, Chuki has got into it with the upper management, if you will.
I mean, can this city just get out of its way? Just go to the playoffs!
You don't check that. It actually didn't say he got into it, upper man. He just said there was an altercation.
A verbal altercation.
Yeah, and it's not said who it was with.
Yeah.
So we'll get into that when Ryan Finley joins us next here on Gwynn and Chris.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Chris Ello, Lori Ello, celebrating our anniversary. Reminder, in case you missed the first segment. Tony Gwynn Jr. out there, or here. Matt Scraby over there. How were the Chronicles last night, sir?
Oh, very, very good. Yeah. All right. I had lots to talk about.
Chronicles return tonight after our show at 6 o'clock.
Don't know what I'm going to talk about later, so
all right,
figure that out.
I know one. It's a little quieter on the sporting schedule today. I mean, you got all the other NBA teams opening their seasons tonight, those who did not play last night. But I think maybe the number one event on the calendar of San Diego sports fans tonight ought to be the soccer match between Salt Lake, Real Salt Lake, and Portland.
That's right.
It's on Apple TV. Right. It's on Apple TV if you get that. 7:30.
I got to tell you guys.
Okay, what you got?
I got to tell you guys. I bit the bullet.
You broke down?
I did. I figured I'm going to buy it next year. I'm certainly going to want to watch these playoffs.
Okay.
So I went ahead and purchased the MLS, the prorated MLS package.
Right, you didn't have to buy the whole year just for the playoffs.
I will next year, which I'll get over at that point. But
well, I think Scraby and I's reaction to that is, you know, some of us have that in the budget and some of us don't.
I hear you.
What?
I got it in the budget. I'm just...
You got it in the budget?
Just,
okay.
Just not doing it.
I certainly don't have it in the budget.
It's not doing it.
But anyway, if you have Apple TV, you can see, find out. The winner of that match tonight will take on SDFC. Game one is Sunday evening at 6:30 at Snapdragon Stadium. I saw the rest of the schedule. Game two is November... I think it's the 3rd. And then...
They love spacing out in soccer.
Well, they have to space it out some.
Oh, I get that.
Can't play back-to-back
you
days.
You can't?
No.
Not really.
Don't they don't do that in a World Cup?
No. They do not at all.
Absolutely not.
I mean, it's
not. Actually, once you get to the college realm, you're not playing back-to-back.
I'm looking it up.
Irony is that it's only in youth sports
in college,
that they play.
You know, you're right. In college, when they have like a postseason tournament for the conference, you play like three matches in 3 days, and it's almost really tough.
Well, I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure San Diego State's done it.
I'm pretty sure
that could be
not
off.
Maybe in men's, but not in women's.
Okay.
They're not certainly
they get
not
one day
three.
Off.
They get multiple days off.
Okay. I'll check with my man Ben Pearson on that one. All right, here's the schedule for the first round. Sunday, 6:30 here. November 1st, it'll be in either Salt Lake or Portland, game two. And if they go to game three, it would be November 9th. So that's still a ways off for the finish of the first round series. And that'll be back in San Diego. So those are the plans you have for that. But I know a lot of people are excited about game one. Ryan Finley, the San Diego Union Tribune, is going to be joining us shortly. But he cannot join us until I remind you that he will be joining us.
It's the best idea I've ever had.
No, it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen because people are going to start leaving the show. People are like, you know what? All they do is read commercials the whole time. I want everybody to understand this is all Scraby's fault.
Go ahead, Scraby.
And this is, you know, we have to read this stuff so Scraby can get paid. So this is why.
You're not a part of that?
My compensation is separate, I believe. I don't know. But we do need to remind you that all guests appear on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime. Been doing it since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. All right, so, yeah, Sunday, 6:30. I heard a rumor that one of us three would be going to the match.
No rumor. It's true.
It's true. You're the guy, huh?
In the building, for sure.
You're going. Tony Gwynn Jr.
Not
will be there.
Is it going to be not just myself, my family's first SDFC game?
Great.
But it's a playoff game.
They're going to have a great time.
I think
mean, your
so.
Kids especially.
I've heard nothing
soccer
but
fans
awesome
and
things from Manny and company. So.
Manny's going to be there.
Name dropper. Our guy's ready.
Well, I can't drop the name. I'm not going to be there with him. He's just going to be there. He's one of the owners of the team.
I don't know why I'm being a jerk right now.
Well, it's, you know, not that
what,
far
Chris?
Off the norm. Ryan Finley is our guy from the San Diego Union Tribune. Sorry you had to put up with that, Ryan. Welcome to the show, sir. How goes things on this Wednesday?
Things are good. Tony, you've never been?
It's no.
Fun, man. You'll enjoy it.
I think I've heard nothing but fabulous things. I'm looking forward to it.
The atmosphere is great. Yeah. You know. Ryan, what do you think the crowd – let's start right at the top. What do we think the crowd's going to be? Because I'm assuming playoff matches were not included in the season ticket package. So, the organization has to go back in and make sure they get these tickets sold. Have you heard any thoughts about that? Because I know everyone in San Diego is – really excited. I hope they fill it up.
And I think so too. And I think it'll be full or full enough, I guess. You know, this is a pretty big deal for them. You know, the first playoff match in franchise history, a chance to make them run sort of at that elusive championship for San Diego. I think that matters. It helps being the number one seed. I think that they've captured San Diego's imagination a little bit here. You know, yes, it's a long season, right? And it's hard to sort of maintain that level of energy and that level of fandom over the course of 8-9 months. But, you know, this is a match that really matters. And again, they're running out of firsts. This could be one of their last firsts of their season.
Yeah, there you go.
Ryan, we were kind of kicking this around shortly after the Padres were eliminated. And it dawned on us that if SDFC gets to a championship and wins one, they will be providing, you know, I think what a lot of people would consider the first major championship in this city. Now, how do you think that would fall? I mean, obviously there is so much energy around SDFC, but they are relatively new to the space. What type of impact do you think it could have?
Well, you know, Tony, you've seen it. You've been around San Diego sports your whole life. You know, San Diego likes a winner.
Yeah.
San Diego supports a winner, and it doesn't, you don't have to be the best team in your league every year, but it helps when you try. And it helps when you put forth the effort to put a winner on the field. I think it's no different in soccer. I think that if San Diego were to make a deep run here or even win the whole thing, I think it would turbocharge soccer fandom here in San Diego. It would capture the casual fan, right? I think what we see now at San Diego FC games is people who know sort of the intricacies of MLS, maybe soccer super fans
right.
in San Diego, right? This would capture the casual fan.
Yeah.
You know, growing up here myself, Tony, I remember when the Chargers would make the playoffs every year.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, the secretaries at my school or my parents' friends who I didn't know were sports fans at all of a sudden would have Charger jerseys on
right.
or,
yeah.
you know, they'd put the lightning bolt in their window, right? you know, that's the casual fan, right? That's what we're trying to capture in San Diego, I think, is sort of the minds and the hearts of the casual fan. And so I think that a playoff performance would certainly go a long way toward bringing more people into the fold for soccer in San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, they've done a lot already. This would be over the top. Ryan Finley is our guest. He's the sports editor of the San Diego Union Tribune and covers the our soccer guys, the SDFC. I'm kind of just want to piggyback a little on Tony's question because just the – I don't know, the sight of a parade going on or something in this town is something is totally foreign to us, right? We've never had one. And the fact that the Padres have been here all that time You'd almost have to be careful celebrating a little too much. I don't think you'd want to step on what the Padres have meant to this city. You see it becoming just maybe a tad uncomfortable if they end up being the first to win.
You know, maybe the dam will burst, right? Maybe all it takes is one, and then it's just championship after championship after
championship. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it would be okay to have a parade because then you'd know exactly what route you would take if and when the Padres did it or San Diego State got back to the Final Four or something like that. You know what? I'm not sure it matters what sport the championship comes in. I think most San Diegans would be thrilled to have a championship.
How about the news that came out today? At least it hit kind of the Athletic today, Ryan. Chucky Lozano had an altercation with someone after, you know, being subbed out in the second half of that Houston game. How much of an impact can this have? I mean, I know they have missed Chucky at different parts of the season and seemingly have been able to do it flawlessly, but I would assume a player like that you'd like to have come this time of year.
Yeah, you know, our Mark Ziegler, who is our resident soccer expert, he has a message in with SDFC right now, trying to see exactly what it means. You know, Mikey Varas hinted earlier in the week that they would address the Chucky stuff later in the week. They had media availability Friday around noon out at Singing Hills. So my guess is we'll know more, you know, no later than Friday. But yeah, I mean, it's big. If he's suspended or if he's not playing, that's big. He's one of their, not only one of their most bankable players, one of their designated players, but he's somebody who has big match experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't put – there's so much of a premium placed on that, especially in soccer, right? And when nobody else on the team has ever really gone through this before. Having Chucky Lozano on your roster is a plus. I think everybody over there would say they'd rather have Chucky engaged and playing than on the bench.
Yeah.
That said, between the international breaks, some of the injuries that he's had this year, and everything else, they've sort of been forced to play and find ways to succeed without him. And, you know, you look at Saturday, that's what happened. I'm naive, guys. I thought Chucky Lozano didn't play Saturday because the match was played in the rain on turf. He was coming back from international competition, and this is a guy who, frankly, you know, they need to have healthy for the playoffs. I figured that was sort of a healthy scratch, right? Come to find out, you know, there's something more to it than that. So we'll see. But you know what? SDFC has figured it out without him. Amal Pellegrino had two goals on Saturday in that big 4-0 win over Portland. There's a path to a championship without Chucky Lozano, but it's certainly easier with Chucky Lozano.
Ryan, Portland plays Salt Lake tonight in the play-in game. I'm sure, you know. Everyone in SDFC is going to be watching this. I looked it up. I'm sure you're aware. They're aware. Obviously, just played Portland last match. Yeah. Just beat them 4-0. I think it would be, you know, pretty cool to play them again. I would think it would certainly be on their minds. Real Salt Lake, they haven't played since two matches a long time ago, April and May. Mm-hmm. And they actually lost one of those to Real Salt Lake. So, did they root for Portland here, or should we root for Portland, or is it the typical once you get to the playoffs, it's a whole different animal anyway?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I think it would be Portland. You know, they have sort of the most recent scouting report on Portland, right? They were just preparing for them last week.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot has changed. You know, Mikey Varas told us last week, too. You know, this time of year, guys, you sort of are who you are, right? Yeah. You're not changing what you do in the month of October. Heading into MLS playoffs. So I think that they would be more comfortable playing Portland. The thing that I don't know, just because we don't really have a sample size for this, you know, is it harder to beat a team twice in 3 weeks? Is it harder, you know, then you've got to beat them twice to advance in the playoffs? Is there more of a challenge having just faced them? I'm not sure. But I think that Portland is probably the team you'd rather face just because, you know, you've seen them recently, you know what you're getting, and you know what you have to do to beat them.
Watching a guy like Dreyer this year, as the year went along, and
he should be the MVP. Never mind this. Who's it? Messi? What's his name with the other guy?
I believe they call it Messi.
Oh,
yes,
sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Speaking of end of the season awards, I mean, his name is involved. I know it sounds like Messi is the clear-cut favorite. for the MVP. He won the Golden Boot this year as well. I mean, how good has Dreyer been? I mean, is he certainly worthy enough to be in this MVP conversation?
Oh, sure. You know, I mean, I think he'll finish second would be my guess behind Messi. You know, it's really hard when you're competing with a guy who's the biggest name in global soccer, also your goals leader in your your league this year. You know, the people love goals. The thing that makes Dreyer to me so interesting is how versatile he is. It's not just that he's a goal scorer, but he's, you know, one of the top assist men in the league. There's a versatility and a team-first approach that he has that I think really resonates well. To me, the big surprise this year, sort of big picture, is that it's Andres Dreyer who has become their best player. And maybe he's not the face of the franchise necessarily, but he's had a much better season than Chucky Lozano has. He's the guy who's been in the conversation for all these, you know, major awards. You know, I think he's certainly the team MVP. So, you know, to me, it's that, you know, he's never going to be Messi in terms of flash or in terms of goal scoring. But the things that he brings to this team are just as important because he's selfless. He's played with a lot of different guys with all the injuries around him, and it doesn't seem to have slowed him down at all. Saturday, again, he was just amazing.
Yeah, he was.
Saturday against Portland and playing with Amal Pellegrino, who's been here like a month. And, you know, sort of brand new to the position. The two of them certainly seem to have a chemistry that should serve them well in the playoffs.
He's our Messi, and he's been a pretty good facsimile, man. I mean, he scored the first goal. Yeah. Like, it started at the beginning, and Dreyer's carried it the whole year. You know, real quick, we appreciate the time. I always want to throw in there, too. You remember how it was a while ago. But the first couple of home games, remember there was a little controversy here and there was some chants and there was controversy there about, you know, some unrest in the stands. This organization, tell you,
good point.
They have been perfect this year practically, Ryan. I mean, you know, they met those things head on. They dealt with them. They took care of it. The fan experience has been fantastic all year and obviously the product. So I know these guys have gotten a lot of credit on the field. They deserve that. But this organization, I think, deserves a lot of credit for what they've done in the first year. It's really quite a success story. And, you know, I don't know why I'm telling you that. But you're the closest
here's
I got.
Starts.
So
It starts with Mikey Varas. And if you've had a chance to listen to him speak, he has a skill, guys. I mean, he's, you know, there's some Pete Carroll to him, and I mean that as a total compliment, in terms of he's able to communicate sort of their culture in a very clear way. And I think he's created an atmosphere where everybody's pulling together. You know, it must be really hard to pull together a roster of guys from all over the world on an expansion team. And he's just been masterful. I mean, I think he's the coach of the year in the league just for what he's been able to do here.
I don't see how you can argue that one. All right, thanks, Ryan. Have fun in the playoffs and enjoy it. We appreciate your coverage, man. Thanks for everything
Thank you,
you guys are doing.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Ryan Finley right there from the San Diego Union-Tribune. That Chucky thing is a little intriguing, I will say, that the Athletic brought up.
This is nothing...
But it also doesn't seem weird for soccer. These guys are diva-ish sometimes.
I mean, don't we see this in all sports? I mean,
maybe.
Somebody gets taken out of the starting lineup, it's usually a problem, especially somebody who has had the kind of success a Chucky has. It's just how those type of athletes are cut. They just aren't going to be happy, especially when it's, you know, halftime of a game. It might have been different if it was like in between games. Hey, we're not gonna start you this next game.
Hey, Chucky, get over it.
I agree.
That's my suggestion. We need you for the title.
Listen to you guys.
Get over it. Hours in, Quinn and Chris. Hour number two, Daily Gambit starts it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.